I wanted to start today actually by inviting Debbie to come up and share a little bit about her group this last week. And so all the small groups have been following along with the sermons and small groups tying in together. So tell us about how last week's small group went for your group. Hello. It's the red mic, if that helps.
Hello? Okay. We started talking about how much we've enjoyed this sermon of this series of sermons and how it really has helped us as a group to listen carefully during sermons, to take good notes, and then we're excited about how we can share them with each other because somebody may have learned something that somebody else didn't learn. So we were talking last week about the things in our lives that completely block God or the things that hinder us. And in our group, it just naturally went to, okay, you've had a couple of days to think about it. Is there something that God has laid on your heart that you've really got to start working on? And it just, even though it was hard, it started flowing. And the next thought was, okay, let's share it so that we can pray for each other, hold each other up. And it was just a beautiful time. And then one of the girls said, okay, the sin is not in darkness anymore. We've named it. It's in the light. And so then we talked about this is a process. You've named it. You've started it. So now we've got to see it through, and we got to pray for each other. That kind of openness in a group doesn't come unless we know absolutely that that's confidential information that's going to be kept in the group. So I would just encourage everybody, be in a group. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Yeah. So every single person sitting in that circle, it's something we can't do in a sermon. You know, last week we talked about things that are holding you back, like the half of the toothbrush or the clogging up what God wants to do in your life, like that pipe. But I couldn't go to every person, and you probably wouldn't want me to. So what's your sin that you're struggling with? I mean, we can't do that, you know, with the microphone on Sunday morning. But in that group of ladies, every single one of them named something. Every single one of them got vulnerable about this is something I'm working on and I need God's help on. That leads to further conversations in that group. Well, how's it going? What are you doing on that? You know, so that's why we're doing this together with the groups and the sermons, is to try to push further. So last week we were talking about how to get that living water flowing through us that Jesus offers. We have to take some steps, take out some junk in our life. But I wanted to start off this week's sermon with a look at a warning that Jesus gives about just simply getting rid of bad in your life. If all you do is just get rid of bad, what happens? So Jesus tells a parable about this in Luke chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. And I'm going to summarize it for us, but you're welcome to look it up as well if you want. So what he talks about there is he says, imagine somebody who's struggling with a demon, struggling with some sort of evil inside of them, is trying to control them. He says that imagine that person gets free from the demon and they sweep their house, their heart, clean. Okay, so they tidy up. So to put it in our terms, imagine somebody is struggling with one addiction or struggling with one major sin in their life or something, and they get free from it and they start to tidy up their heart. But the person in the story, that's all they do. They get rid of the bad and they leave their inside condition empty. So they've gotten rid of this major problem, but they've not put anything in its place, really. So here's what Jesus says at the end of the story. It's a sad story. At the end of the story, it's that demon and gets seven of his buddies that are worse than him, and they all go back and crowd in on that person. And he says that the condition of that person in the end is worse than it was to start. And maybe you've even lived that story yourself. You had a major problem, and you worked really hard, and you swept it out, only to see a bunch of other junk come up in your life. Sometimes it's not even the exact same thing. Maybe you get over one big issue, but then fear and pride and greed or whatever else comes in and dominates in that empty space. So that's what we don't want to be. Last week we talked about getting rid of junk in our life, but if all you do is get rid of junk, then you're not going to take hold of what Jesus has for you, okay? So today we're going to talk about something different. We're talking about how do we fill up with Jesus? How do we get full of good, okay? So let's pray as we get ready to get into that. Jesus, I thank you for what Debbie's group did this last week. They all got real about things they need to change. And Jesus, I know every person in this room, we all have things we need to change for you. Help us to have the courage not just to leave the bad behind, but help us have the courage to take hold of something good in its place. Show us the way to do that today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be reading a passage of Scripture. It comes out of Romans chapter 12. It's going to be verse 1 and 2 if you want to turn there. But I'm going to summarize what comes right before that. So Romans 11, this is a great chapter of Scripture. Paul, in that chapter, he talks about two different groups of people, and they've both been offered this incredible chance to have life in God. But he goes on to talk about God's mercy to both groups of people. And he says, grace doesn't have anything to do with works. If it had to do with works, it wouldn't be grace. What Paul's saying there is that none of us earn God's love. None of us can come in front of God and say, you owe me something, okay? Jesus freely offers us a connection with God that has nothing to do with what we did. So that's the beginning of it. And Paul's describing in Romans 11 this path that God's taken to bring his mercy to us. And I don't know if you guys have ever had this experience. You start talking about something God's done, and as you're talking about it, you just get sidetracked with how great God is. Because that's what happens to Paul in Romans 11. Towards the end of it, he's talking about mercy and how God's bringing his mercy to everybody in the world. And then he gets sidetracked at the end of the chapter, and he just goes into how wise God is and how God never had to ask anybody else for advice. God knows best. God does best. And he's incredible. So it's just this little kind of praise about how smart God is, basically, at the end of 11. So then we get to this verse we're about to read. So he says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, or he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what he was just talking about, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So what Paul holds here in tension is a truth that people try to break into two pieces, and it's really dangerous to break it apart, okay? So in chapter 11, he's talking about how grace doesn't have anything to do with what you've done. Jesus loves you not because of what you've done, but because he loves you, okay? And some people break that truth and try to just hold that half of it, and they say, God loves me, it doesn't matter what I do, and they kind of just sit around on the couch and whatever, you know, they do bad stuff, and they don't have that truth that Paul has. But then there's other people that try to break it to just this second part of this verse about, like, giving your whole self to God. And they try to say, oh, I got to do good every day because I'm so afraid that Jesus is going to punish me or hurt me or not love me. And so I have to do to keep up and to earn God or to earn God's love. And that's not what we see in Romans 11 and Romans 12. What we see is that God loved us before we ever did anything right. And God loves us through the midst of whatever we've done. And he will reach into the darkest, slimiest pit and love us right there, and he'll show us the way out of there, okay? So no matter where you are today, no matter if you have murdered somebody, no matter if you have betrayed people or left your kids when you shouldn't have, whatever you have done, Jesus says mercy is not based on works. Mercy is based on me paying the cost for you, okay? So Jesus will meet you right where you're at today. But what does that do in your life? When you meet God's love, it should do what Paul talks about here. If you want a new life in God, it comes from I accept his grace, and then I respond by giving my whole self to him. So that's where it's both things at once. It's I don't earn God's love. I choose to love in action because God's loved me in action. I choose to respond in the way he treated me, okay? to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. When we try to give our whole self to God, sometimes we can feel like we don't measure up. But here, God is saying, I'm going to be pleased when you give me all that you have. Even if what you have isn't very much, if you give me all you have, I'll be pleased with it. This is the way you can worship me. This is what I want from you. The next verse is where we're going to really center in on today, and that's verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. A lot of times people come to me, I would say close to half the conversations I have with people, because I'm a pastor, at least people at Maywood, is they're trying to figure out what they should do. And rather than doing what this verse says, they just think, well, I'll just ask Jake and kind of, I'll just cheat off of him like it's a math test or something. I'll just skip to it. But the problem is typically God doesn't tell me what he wants you to do. Like typically God wants to work in your life to change you. So it's hard to know. But a lot of us want this. We want to know, should I get married or stay single? Or is this the right person to be around? Or is this the right job? Or who do I need to apologize? Or am I doing this right or wrong? How do I make my marriage work? There's all sorts of stuff that we have questions on. How do we get to the answers? It says right here, it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. That means if you want a different life than the people around you in this neighborhood have, then you can't live the way they live. You can't listen to all the stuff they listen to. You can't read or watch all the stuff they read and watch. You can't talk about all the stuff they talk about. You can't do all the activities on Friday night that they do. If you do that sort of stuff, then you get that sort of life. But what it says is, but if you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That was the one, as Debbie and Kathy and I, two of our small group leaders that helped on the sermon, that was the one that they latched onto. They said, this is what we need to work on this week. Because they get Jesus' living water flowing through us, we have to be transformed on the inside. We have to be different. We're going to be talking about taking that living water out. We're going to be talking about that in other weeks. But this week, it's about getting right on the inside. Last week, we cleared out some of the sin, but this week, it's about getting the goodness in us, okay? Real quick, we're going to need three disciplines today. What is a discipline? A discipline's only beneficial in that it allows God to grow inside of us. So Richard Foster, one of my favorite authors, he says, farmers can't make food. All a farmer does is they prepare the soil for God to make something grow. Farmers don't make corn, they don't make wheat, or whatever else, they don't make mangoes. They prepare soil, and then God gives rain, God gives sunlight, God gives life. And they've made it to where it can grow better, okay, where it can grow more fully. And when we do disciplines in our life, we're clearing space in our heart so God can grow more in us, okay? So these three things I'm going to tell you, they are not commands. They're trying to experiment and live out this verse. This verse is a command that we're supposed to live up to. I'm going to give you three ideas. If you're a note taker like Debbie was talking about, you can write a 1, 2, 3. That's where we're headed. Pick one of these to experiment with and see if it fits this verse in your life, okay? So here's the first one, okay? Number one, some of us, we face temptations. Maybe this last week you were trying to stop gambling, or you're trying to stop doing some substance that you shouldn't be doing, or you're trying to stop lusting, whatever it was. And you try, and you try, and you try, and you look like this guy. Like, I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to hear about it. I'm not going to think about it. And you spend your whole day struggling with not doing something, and it dominates all your thinking, and after about 6 hours of trying really hard, you fail, and then you feel really guilty, and so you plug your ears harder, and you fail in 3 hours, you know, and you're like, what? You know, then you go to your small group, and you feel bad, and you tell them, but maybe you guys are all stuck in this phase. Like, I guess just plug your ears harder. Here's a new earplug you can try or something, like, just try harder. So what can you do besides just trying not to do something wrong? Like a lot of times we face a temptation, you start to hate that temptation maybe, and Satan will try to twist it. He'll try to twist it to where you hate yourself. But if you read Romans 11 and you read through the Bible, you see that like God's plan for you isn't the sin that you're struggling with right now. Like when Jesus looks at you, he doesn't see that as your identity. He sees that as something to take off of you. Okay, that's not the core of who you're created to be. So when you're struggling with gambling, Jesus doesn't say, oh, that's a gambler. He's such a bad person, like you might talk about yourself. He says, calls you by name. And he says, and I'm going to set them free from gambling. Okay, like that's a sin that's stuck on them. It's not who they are. Okay, but how do you fight that sin? Sometimes we want to be able to do this. You're like, this stupid temptation in my life. Like, I just want to punch it in the face. You know, I'm so sick of failing at this thing. How many people have felt like that? Like, I'm so angry at myself for failing at this thing, but we just don't know. You know, we don't know how to do this. We don't know how to punch lust in the face or how to punch whatever, you know, pride or anger or whatever it is. We don't know how to do this. So Debbie Anderson knows how to do this, actually. So Debbie just spoke. She gave me a good tip on this, okay? So Debbie said she has these little notebooks like this that she picks up somewhere, and they're full of a bunch of index cards. And you could do this a lot of different ways. But what Debbie does is when she's struggling with a temptation, she will look up all the verses she can find that talk about that temptation, and she will write them down, one verse per card, okay? So then when she's tempted, she will go and pull that out and read through those, okay? Now let me break it down a little bit for you in case you want to actually try this one yourself. One, you might be thinking, well, how do I even find what the Bible says about whatever topic? Well, when you read the Bible, if you read the Bible every day, things will start jumping out at you, and those are the best place to start. If God's laid something on your heart that you read and it fits something you're struggling with, I mean, write that down. But if you want to accelerate things a little bit, a lot of Bibles at the back of them, they'll have a little word search thing where you can search by topic. So you could try that if your Bible has it. If not, or if it does even, you could ask other people, like your small group or other folks here. You could say, hey, have you ever read a verse about lust? Or have you ever read a verse about drinking? Or have you ever read whatever it is, you know? Ask for verses about it, and you can write it down. You can even turn to Google. Google can give us some crazy stuff. But if you type into Google, like Bible verses on, like some stuff will come up on that too, okay? You can try that out. And if something really crazy comes up, like maybe ask your small group leader about it or something, but you can do that. So then when you write all these things down, what's the benefit of that? Well, the benefit of that is if you write them down today, when you leave church and you're feeling good and strong, it's like a training, okay? What does training do? It takes you from a period of strength, and it takes that moment and makes you stronger when you're weak, okay? So today, when you're feeling great and the sun is shining and Jesus is big in your life, you take all that momentum and you put some of it into those cards. And then, late at night, when you're hungry and someone said something mean to you and your boss was a jerk and you're stressed, and you feel like, I just can't handle this temptation anymore, I'm going to give in. Instead of giving in, you have this option to go across the room or whatever, or look on your phone or wherever you put it, and you just start reading stuff. And you read, you know, Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. If you're struggling with one of those, you read that, and then you read another and another and another. And pretty soon, you're not trying so hard to just say no, you're thinking like, yeah, I don't want that. Like it shifts your heart. Like you're able to stand up to it. And it's because God's given us his word as a sword to fight with, okay? He's given us as a tool. And that choice to say, I'm going to not do the sin, I'm going to read scripture, it's very, very powerful. So if you're here today and you're like, well, I kind of like having this pet sin in my life. I don't really want to get rid of it. Like, then we don't really have options for you, okay? Like, you're just going to struggle until it gets worse, okay? But if you're here today and you're like, I really want to get better and I don't know how, like, here's the tool. Like, try this one out. See if it works. So that's step number one. Debbie gave me two of our three ideas come from Debbie, okay? This one is really good. So second one coming up, if you're taking notes. Are you sick of faking happy? So there's some folks out there who, you know, they've got this inside condition. They're depressed, sad, bitter. Some people are self-focused enough or truthful enough or frank enough they just let everybody know how they feel. And that can they can be rough to be around, you know, because they have a rough inside condition. And I'm not saying it's bad to be honest. I'm just honestly saying they have a problem, you know, like they. But there's other people out there who, whether it's because they want to please people or politeness or whatever, it could be some other weird stuff too, but they know I don't want to show everybody that I'm struggling this much. And so they act happier than they are. They act like everything's okay when it's not okay. And that can be pretty exhausting, and pretty soon you don't feel like your friends are even really your friends because you're not the real you. So it's hard to make a real connection. It's not a good way to live. We can get sick of faking it. Here's the problem with it, though. If you're sick of faking being happy, it's like we all know, like, this doesn't work. You know, like, just forcing yourself to smile doesn't make you happy. Like, you can't just flip it on like a switch. And I don't necessarily think God's will for us is to always be happy, but one of the fruits of the Spirit that Jesus wants to flow through us is joy, if you look in Galatians chapter 5. Joy is different than happiness, but I bet if you had joy inside of you, you wouldn't have to fake being happy, okay? So if you had God's joy inside of you, I bet you'd get rid of that mask of fake and happy, okay? You'd be free of it. So how do you get joy inside of you? Again, we're looking for practical. We like practical here. Let's give us something to do, okay? Let's at least try and ask for God's help as we're trying. Well, Debbie had this idea. It's a pretty intense one, but I think it'll work. So it involves some paper, and it came from this book that she read called 1,000 Gifts. So it involves writing a list of thank yous, because if you will sit down and think about things that God's given you that you don't deserve, it's pretty hard to not wind up with some joy at the end of that process. Now, here's the thing we read about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It said, don't be conformed by the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you sit down this afternoon and write three things you're thankful for, I bet you'll be a little more joyful for about 15 minutes, okay? But I bet come Thursday, you won't be any better off, okay? Here's the thing I like about Debbie's challenge, is it is a challenge. So Debbie's challenge that she did with one of her small groups, write 1,000 things that you're thankful for. I mean, like, that's a commitment. We're not talking about a single sheet of paper here, okay? Here's how Debbie described it. She said, some people in my class rushed through it, and they got done in 2 or 3 months, which I was like, I've not heard rushed in 2 or 3 months in a long time, you know, like, together. Debbie, who's sitting right here, who just spoke with us, she said, I wanted to really make sure I was really, truly thankful for the things I wrote down. So it took me about 6 years, is what Debbie said. So I wonder if Debbie's mode of thinking has been transformed after doing that for 6 years. I mean, don't you think God's worked on her heart and changed her? I mean, I hear a lot of people complain about, like, oh, the music I listen to makes me really negative or this or that. What kind of positive effect if you spent so much time that 1,000 thank yous came out of you on paper to Jesus? Like, you'd have a new sort of heart. There's a reason most people don't do this. There's a reason probably most of us in the room won't do this. Like, it's difficult. But if you are sick of having a fake happy face, if you're actually sick of it, then you maybe are sick enough to try something like this, okay? Like, to actually say, like, I want to make something different. I want to open up to all that God's given me. I'm going to start writing these things, okay? 1,000 thank yous. So that's an idea from Debbie. I snuck one in because I'm the pastor and I just did. So I snuck one of the three in. I don't know that mine is as good. So here's where mine comes from. Mine comes for somebody who feels overwhelmed by an impossible to-do list. So if you've ever been at that spot, maybe you're at that spot right now where you got all these responsibilities and you just feel like there's no way. Like, there is no, even if I stayed up all night, like, I can't get all this done. And you just feel like that day after day after day. It's not just like for a moment, but it's like, I just can't keep up, can't keep up, can't keep up. So you can get pretty overwhelmed and bags under your eyes just grow, grow, grow. And some people, when they face so much to do, they run away from it and they just ignore it. And honestly, I don't have advice for those people. I haven't had that. That's just not the way that I'm wired. So here's where my advice fits well, is if you're the type of person who you got this giant list and you just stay up late and later and later, and you get less and less sleep for longer and longer because you're trying to get it all done, and you feel all this weight on your shoulders, and you're just going to work your way through it. If you're that sort of person, I think my advice can help you, because I've experimented a lot. I get up in the morning, I read the Bible, I'm stressed. The nice thing about praying and reading the Bible is whatever is in you that's not like Jesus, he starts pointing at it. You know, he starts pointing, like, Jake, you're super stressed, and you're trying to do everything on your own. It's not right. So I start experimenting. Okay, how do I obey you? How do I be different? So here's what my experimentation led me to, something that was helpful. I got convicted because I gave someone this advice a couple weeks ago, and I realized, like, oof, I need to start doing this. So here's what you do. Start of the day, you pray. And you tell Jesus, here's the things I have to get done today. The interesting thing for me, if I just let my mind be stressed, it sounds like there's 1,000 things I need to do today. But when I start praying to God who in heaven who made the sunrise this morning, things start to shrink on what I absolutely have to get done today. There are typically some things, you know, I have to, you know, preach at a funeral today, or I have to preach at a wedding, or I have to be at this meeting with these other folks. I have to pick the kids up at this certain time. You know, there's some things that are on the list, but normally my list gets pretty small, and I would encourage you, don't give God a list of 17 things you have to get done today. Try to ask him, like, what are the things I really have to get done today? Talk to him about it. I bet it'll be small. I bet it'll be 3 or 4 or 5 things. Then for me, one of the ways I know that typically I'm struggling is I haven't been getting enough sleep for quite a while. So a lot of times I'll throw in a request in there too, which I think is healthy, of God, I've got to get these 3 things done today, and I think they're legitimate. Like, I really think I need to get them done. Please help me to be able to get enough sleep tonight too. And I found it's important not to throw a specific, like, help me get 8 hours of sleep, to just leave it open to God. Pray about the thing you really need. What I really need is for my body to be rested, because I see that when I'm not rested, I'm not a great Christian. So anyway, so we pray those things. Now, one of 2 options is going to happen in your day, okay? Let's think about option number 1. You pray these things in the morning. Option number 1 is God says yes, and he blesses it. And what you thought would take you until 11 o'clock at night to work on, you work on it hard all day, and you're praying all day long. And when you get one done, you say, thank you, God, I got one done. And then you're on to number 2. Thank you, God, I got number 2 done. Thank you, God, I got number 3 done. And then it's only 7 o'clock, and I got all this stuff done. The way Jake Taylor works is, what else can I get done? Now, you know, I'm behind on so many other things. Like, I'm going to start doing laundry, and I'm going to change the oil in my wife's car, and pretty soon it's midnight, and then I'm going to sleep super late again, and, like, I'm back in the same spot. And God gave me this supernatural gift of getting my work done early, and I just took it and squandered it on a bunch of junk that I wanted to get done. That's not the right way to handle. I'm just from experience. Don't expect God to keep helping you get stuff done early if you waste it, okay? So if you asked him for sleep, when you get done early, you don't go and do extra laundry. You don't go and do extra stuff. Now, if laundry was 1 of your 3, which maybe it needs to be sometimes, like, that's okay, like, get it done. Or I told first service, you know, if I've got 3 things on my list today, and then Bob comes into the office and is like, Jake, I'm moving this desk, will you help me? I can't be like, sorry, Bob, it'll have to be for tomorrow's list, you know, like, because all of these little things we do when we experiment, they never outweigh Jesus's commands to us, okay? So Jesus commands us, love, you know, love your neighbors, you love yourself, okay? Don't take these random things I say and make them bigger than God's word, okay? But we're trying to explore how to fulfill Romans 12, verse 2, okay? So you don't rush and add to your list. So that's option 1. And what winds up happening is you thank God throughout the day for getting stuff done. And then at the end of the day, you actually get to say, like, I got it all done. Thank you, God. Like, now I'm going to rest. The problem with at least my personality type is I never get to that spot unless I do something like this, unless I've asked God and I receive rest as a gift from him. So it's good, okay? Here's the other option, and this one happens too. You pray, God, help me with these 3 things. I don't think I can get them done until 11 o'clock or something tonight, and I got to get up early the next morning, blah, blah, blah. You go through the day, and it's one of those days where everything goes wrong. You finally get number 1 done at like 2 in the afternoon, and then you finally get number 2 done. You get 3 done at like 12:30 at night, and you're like, Even when I was being negative this morning, I thought I'd have it done by 11, you know, and it's like super late. Now, you can at that moment be like, God, you failed me, and be angry at God. That doesn't help you, though, so I'll skip you ahead of that mode, okay? So something I've found that can help is you kneel down, you're about ready to go to sleep, and you set your alarm. I set my alarm on my phone, and it has this a feature that's depressing that tells you how long that is set for. Like, your alarm's set for 4.5 hours. It's like, that's such a depressing thought, you know, like, you take that depressing thought and you kneel down and say, God, I really think I needed to do the things I did today. And I did them. And I did them the best I could. And I only have 4 hours and 37 minutes. And the kids might wake up. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm here. I can't control this stuff. I need your help. I ask you to bless the sleep I'm going to get. Bless my rest. So here's what I found. When you go to God with that sort of attitude today, of God, these are the things I think I really need to do. And obviously you check them with him and don't leave him out on the stuff you need to do. But then you come to him humbly at the end of the day and say, God, I tried my best and I came up short. I need your help. I've seen over and over, like, God show up. And God can make your sleep as good as he wants to make it. And God can provide for you as much as he wants. So the purpose of this thing is to get us off of I have to do everything myself and onto this rhythm of, like, God's my partner. And as I go through the day, the end results are on his shoulders. And I'm going to trust him to take care of me. So this is the discipline I found to help me get there. You may have a different way to get there, but these are the sorts of things where your mind gets renewed. It's not all about me and it's not all on my shoulders. It's about doing things God's way and trusting him with the outcomes. So we shared three things with you. You come up with your own, the more the merrier. You know, there's lots where we got started. But small groups this week will be talking about the same theme, about how do you renew your mind? How do you actually start changing? How do you actually start getting good inside of you? Not just trying to not be bad, but actually become a joyful person. Become a person that can stand strong in the face of temptation. Become a person who rests and trusts in God. So I want to pray a blessing over you guys as we finish up today. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, I pray for every person here today. Jesus, you're the only one who can renew us. We're dependent on you. Just like a farmer needs you to make food, I pray you would make new life grow in us this week. God, help us to use the tools that we have to prepare our hearts for you to grow. It's in your name we pray. Amen.